Yeah, absolutely. So, how did the rest of tribe? How's the rest of the Tribeca trip? How'd that go for you guys?
That went well. We got to participate in, as you know, the interactive day on Saturday, which was awesome.
Right.
And then we had to go home on Sunday.
Yes, as did
So
I.
unfortunately, we missed Games for Change, which I was really bummed about.
I did get an invite for that myself. So I have a just like a short list of questions. It probably won't take more than, 15 minutes of your time, I would doubt. First things first, I was just curious how long you yourself have been a game maker.
back in high school, I would have been in the late 90s.
Sure.
Got into programming because I wanted to make video games. And so QBasic, that sort of thing. But it was also just on the cusp of the web boom. So I got into web design, programming. Eventually worked in healthcare, actually, for over 10 years. And then after Joel got sick, a few different life events happened, and it just seems like the right time to make the jump back into why I got into this area in the first place. And that was video games and films and stuff like that. So I made the jump from healthcare to a small indie shop called Soma Games out of just outside of Portland. And I worked with them for 2 years before joining up with Josh and doing this. So I released some mobile games, both personally and professionally through Soma. Done some contract work in that area. So yeah, it's going on now. Gosh, when I think about it, 4 or 5 years.
That would be about right. So that's
Just 4 or 5 years I've been doing video games, so.
so and by the way, I've just this morning saw that whole Robert Downey Jr. interview where he got all emotional. So you guys are so open about your experience.
Don't worry,
So
I'm not
I
gonna walk out on you.
well no not necessarily walking out, but if there's just because you guys talk about such heavy content through the documentary, and obviously you're putting yourselves out there completely with even yourselves and your own children as voice performers in your game. So obviously, there's a point to putting yourselves out there in a whole multitude of mediums. I didn't realize until this morning you guys put a book out as well. So, but yeah. So it's like if there's something that you specifically don't want to answer, then that's perfectly
Okay,
fine.
yeah, no
What's my
worries.
point? So how has your goal, because you guys got funding from Ouya and then you had your Kickstarter campaign. So through the development, has the ultimate goal of the game, has that changed at all? As the way that you wanted to tell the story, has your overall message, has it evolved at all through
Yeah,
the
absolutely.
development, basically in continuation with what happened to Joel?
Yeah, certainly. There's a, we started this project when Joel was still alive. And by all accounts, had surpassed, everybody's expectations. I mean, he had been terminal for a year and a half when we started this project. And so, this wasn't something we started at the very beginning of his illness, nor was it something we started after his illness. It was something that we very intentionally started in between. And part of that reasoning, at least like creatively and also kind of like credibility wise, was that like, our desire is that people see us for who we are, and that transparency for us was very important. Because I think there's a tendency to like, you go through something and then all of a sudden you have an opinion about it, right? And now we have an opinion, but you've also seen our opinion kind of change throughout the whole process. And for us, we were hoping honestly to document a miracle. How cool would that have been to start this project and Joel's still alive and he's defeating that dragon and God has done something miraculous in our lives. How neat would that be, And so I think there is a certain amount of, like I said, bravado, You're just like, okay, we're doing this. It's exciting. Everybody's paying attention. Look how amazing everything is going. I think, losing Joel has certainly tempered that. But also, like, allowed us to kind of mature in that process of grief and mourning. And I think that anytime, I think when, as an example, early on, we wrote a film about a couple losing their child to cancer, but we hadn't lost Joel. And I remember after making that film, and we never really released it, we just kind of, we buried it, was just that I didn't feel like I had the right. I didn't really feel like I had the artistic right to even go there. Mm-hmm. And now, had we made that same film now, I think it certainly would have been different. Just the way that we handle it, the way that we've acknowledged our own grief, the way that we've processed all of those things. And so, whereas before I wanted it to be a living memorial to a living child, now it's a living memorial to our child who's passed away. And there's a heaviness to it. There's a weight to it. And also bringing in the stories of all the other people like that have gotten involved through the Kickstarter adds a weight to it that's very real and tangible to us, you know? Like, this is this shared mourning of a group of souls and families that have really walked through this valley. And not everybody's walked through that valley. And it's a club I didn't want to be a part of. But now that I am, it's something that has changed me profoundly. So yeah, a long answer to a very short question, but I think for us, it's gone from let's tell you about everything that happened and look at all the treatments and all the things that have happened and all the disabilities he's had and he's still here, to what was it like to be with Joel? And it's such a simple shift, but I think we needed to go through that process to really find the heart of what it is that we're doing, you know? So.
Great. Oh, that's, yeah, don't worry about having long answers to very short questions, because it's like we have these ambiguous questions, you know, like ultimately, yeah. You know, it's like cancer itself even feels ambiguous when you lose someone. I don't know if you or Amy have lost someone to cancer at all, you know, prior to Joel. But I wanted to ask first about Amy's contribution, because yeah. I could tell watching you together in the film, you know, she was your rock and she really helped you a lot with your creative process and did a lot of the writing for the game. Do you feel that the game would have been drastically different without her input, or would it even be, you know, this far along at all?
I love what she's contributing to the game. I mean, for us, it was important that we write from our own voices, you know? And so, like, when you hear inner monologue from her, she wrote it. When you hear a line from me, I wrote it, and we performed it ourselves. And then a lot of like the dialogue in the game that we have is her writing. And she has a way with that. I mean, throughout the experience with Joel, Amy was blogging almost every day and kept our family blog. And so you can kind of see how we've kind of matured and changed spiritually over the experience, you know, and that's certainly something that she adds to this. We approach our faith in very different ways. Sometimes it's frustrating to me because it seems to come easy for her. Sometimes it's frustrating for her because I'm always having to tear it down to build it back up again. But we always kind of like arrive at those same places, and especially when we're dealing with questions of death and life and death and eternity and our son and how we talk to our children and all of that stuff is certainly affected. So it needed to be our voice. It needed to be our writing and our poetry. And I think without that, I'm not sure people would really believe it, you know? But like when they listen to it, regardless of if it's good poetry, regardless of if it's good dialogue, you know that it's us. And I think that in that regard, it serves its purpose, which is to really connect you to really invite you in. Like, you know, my hope is that ultimately people feel like a friend. Like once they play through it and they've gone through the experience, they feel like we've added more than we've taken away from them, but that also we've invited them in as a friend, and that they felt that they had the right to be there and that they have the right to wrestle with it, these things, the same way that we've wrestled with these things. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, kind of on that line, because a couple of things that stood out to me was your, you briefly mentioned in the film about, well, namely, Americans as people being afraid of talking about death and how it kind of feels like a taboo. Do you feel like that in doing, you know, the press coverage for the film and in demoing the game, do you feel differently about that, or do you feel that you've helped make a change in that conversation in any small part?
I would say in America, it feels like there's this collective social taboo, but individually, people are very willing to share.
Yeah.
So, like, I feel like a tremendous warmth, and like from gamers and film lovers alike. I mean, people want to talk about it. They want to tell their stories. They want to do those things. They just need permission, you know. And so it's not that. I think in some ways we are afraid of death in the eternal sense, right? We're just like oblivion, like that's terrifying, right? But in the more temporal sense, I think we just need permission to talk to each other. And like, you can like walk around, you know, I tell a story about how one time I went to a Best Buy and like the guy behind the counter, like Joel came up when a friend came up to talk to me, and the guy behind the counter shared his story. It's like, you need a reason, because people aren't asking. It's not like, you know, when I start a conversation with somebody, it's not like, hi, I'm Ryan. I have 4 children. One of them died last year. You know, you just don't do that. You know, you either have to decide, okay, I got 4 children, 5 children. I have 5
it's kind of like a verbal
if
welcome
mat. 5 children, do I have to get into it? Like, do I have to talk to them about it? If I say 4, am I like not acknowledging Joel? So it's like, it's this weird like social practice of, how do we talk about the people that matter to us, you know? And when do we get to talk about it? So for me, I feel like we've just given people a chance to talk about it, and they're ready and willing. I think as far as like death goes, I think many of us in America have experienced cancer. I think it's pretty much universal. I think childhood cancer is less universal. And I think in other countries where things like clean water are an issue, you know, and other types of diseases that, you know, are epidemics, it's not going to be rare to find a family that has lost a child. Here, it feels like it is rare to find a family that's lost a child. However, I think everybody knows of somebody, you know? And so when I say that, you know, it's just not as familiar a subject to us. Death is not as near to us in this country. We can kind of keep it at arm's length and behind doors, you know? So I feel like this forced us as a family to deal with this. This forced us as a family to, like, we can't shelter our kids from it, you know? Like, they're going to lose their brother. Like, how you can't protect them from that. So in that regard, it's like, okay, how do we talk to them frankly, and how do we address these issues in our everyday conversations so that it's not a taboo even within our family, you know?
In regards to your family, because I was curious, because I was asking David and Malika when I had interviewed them over the phone, how you guys personally, you and Amy, were, you know, very responsive to having them come in, kind of document what was going on. How did the kids feel about that? How did they feel about being on camera, or, you know, having this being a constant presence in their lives?
You know, we weren't going to make them do it. We asked their permission, you know. And they seemed to want to do it. Caleb had quite a few interviews with the crew that didn't make the cut. And so I think they like that we're creating this game and other people know about it, and they can know about Joel, and they can know about our family and everything. I think that's cool to them. In the way that, you know, my son wants to be a video game developer, and so he thinks that's awesome. I think that as children, they don't quite have the vocabulary to discuss all of their emotions yet, you know? And so my hope is that this process was positive for them. And I hope it is. I think that, like I said, if there's a reason to bring up Joel, we'll bring up Joel, you know? Like, if he comes up in conversation, like, let's talk about him and what we loved about him and what we were disappointed by and what we remember, you know? Like, I think having those open conversations are important, because otherwise they're going to feel like, I'm hiding something from them, or that I'm not available to them, or that willing to like grieve with them. And that's something that even when we first saw the film back in February, we saw a rough cut. We just spent the next 15, 20 minutes just holding our kids, you know, because they were grieving too. And so like this has become a healthy, I think, a healthy way for us to express our grief process and our mourning process, and for our kids to have opportunities to express that as well, you know. One thing we're exploring now is how Caleb and Isaac can contribute art to the game, like, and be part of that, and also add some of their ideas to a specific scene in the game that really talks about how we talk to them about all of this. We really want their handprint to be in it, you know, and their voice to be in it. So yeah, I think for me, it's been this process of like not being so selfish with the game and making it about my expression, but making it about our expression as a family. And then by extension, a lot of other people's expression, you know, as they have mourned their own family members, you know. So I don't know, it's not what I thought it would be when we started this, but I'm grateful that we have it, and I'm grateful for the opportunity to make something beautiful, you know, as a result of all of this. So
on the note of you know, remembering and grieving, do you feel that right now in the world we kind of live in, with all this access, constant access to tech and cameras, do you feel like that our ability to create instant memories with that access, do you feel like that makes grieving any easier, or, you know, with a chance of, you know, better chance of remembering these things?
Yeah. Well, I think the thing I mentioned in the film, that I was afraid of forgetting Joel. Mm-hmm. And what I've found over the last year is that his life and his image fades so quickly. Like, life moves on, and we have kids that have to go to school, and we have work that we have to do and everything else. And so, like, what I'm so grateful for is that I get, like, this tether through this project to, like, constantly look back at him, because life moves so fast. I'm very grateful for the instant ability. Like, we have hundreds of videos of him. We have thousands of photos. We have recordings of him. I keep special videos on my phone towards the end of his life that I just can't bring myself to remove from my phone, you know? And when I want to, I can lay there and look at Joel and see those videos and, you know, like, or, you know, on the memorial of his death, or on the anniversary of his death, I was on a bus, and, you know, pops up on Facebook, and I get 100 pictures to look at him, you know, like, and this film, I got to see it twice this weekend. I got him back for 2 hours at a time. Like, it was so special to be able to have those things frozen in time, because, you know, some people have said, you know, that time is like a river, you know, and you keep trying to hold on to these rocks to kind of like keep you, or swim upstream, but you can't. So I'm very grateful for the time we live in. I think about, you know, even my family members who lost family, like, even 30, 40 years ago, and all they have is one photo, you know. Like, I have an embarrassment of riches in that regard, you know, of things to remember him by.
Do you feel like that the game and the film themselves help Joel live on in that same way, or would you see them more as kind of pieces to share with the rest of the world?
You know, they're not him, you know? They're shadows, they're echoes of him. And I'm grateful to have those echoes, and that like, other people can interact with those echoes. Like, just the idea of, like, somebody being able to make him laugh and hear that laughter as a response to something they did, that's universal, you know? Like, that's somebody everybody can connect to and appreciate. And it just so happens it gets to be Joel's echo. So, yeah, I don't know. It's become more of a memorial. Yeah, I want it to be able to live on its own, though.
Yeah.
Know? Like, not just as, like, this mausoleum, you know? Sure. Like, I want it to live in a different way, you know? And as a work of creativity, and as a work of love, and as a work of like as a gift that we can give somebody else. That's not self-indulgent. Like, I want it to be something that gives to people. And so I hope that the way that we do this, people feel like we've given them a gift, or that we've improved their life in some way, even if what we're giving them is a story of our loss, you know? I think that's the paradox of all of it, but my hope for it.
Absolutely, definitely. You know, you guys, obviously, you create the game, and obviously through the film, I've seen, you guys seem to play as much Super Smash Brothers as I do. What have you guys been playing lately? Have the kids been playing anything aside from Minecraft? Do you guys play things together at all? Do you connect kids with are games?
Into Minecraft and Smash. I don't play as, you know, when you make games, you don't play them as much.
Sure, it's how it works.
I saw something that I connected with recently that I saw as part of the, I think it's Anthology Game Jam. I'm not sure what it was, but there's this one called Absence of Is, and it was this very moody kind of cinematic experiment, and I just found it really compelling. And it's by Ice Water Games, called The Absence of This. So I check it out if you're interested in games at all. Yeah, that was one I played recently. And of course, gotta give a shout out to Towerfall.
So finally, when you and I spoke at the Interactive Playground on Saturday over at Tribeca, you mentioned what you guys have left to do for the fall release, and what it is a lot of refinement and polish and debugging. What comes for the game after that? It releases, and then what else?
Well, my hope, something that we're doing next week, the film is going to Toronto next week as part of Hot Docs.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're showing there. We're going up there too. We're actually meeting with the Hospital for Sick Kids in Toronto, ensuring the film and excerpts from the game to the hospital staff. And that kind of like is our hope going forward as we try to like spread the word on what we're doing, is like that through the film and the game, we can create these kind of like events where people can come, they can see the film, maybe there's a reception, maybe they can play the game, but hopefully the net result of that is that we've created this kind of permissive space to talk about these things, you know? So like how cancer has affected us, or the loss that we faced, or our personal stories. And hopefully it's like, you know how cocktail hours, you go there and you don't talk about anything?
Yeah. You talk about traffic.
Yeah, and weather and stuff like that. Like, this is so boring to me. And I feel like it would be really neat if we could have that kind of event, other you know, people from healthcare, people from media, or people from technology and families to kind of like talk about this stuff, you know, and hopefully inspire change, you know, both like inside, you know, like how we think about life and our faith and everything else, you know, but also like call to action, you know. I mean, I think the thing I never realized is how going through this kind of changes the call in your life. You know, you feel compelled to talk about this stuff and hope other people care. And hopefully, you know, like either raise money for research or raise money for families that are going through this stuff, or, you know, be able to have the means to kind of continue to do this work, you know, personally. And as a studio, I mean, we're hopeful that we'll be able to do that. So I guess, you know, we're going to launch on like Steam and Ouya. The film might come to theaters, but most of all, it will show on PBS next year. And that hopefully that we can, you know, gather people together and, like have a positive impact, you know, on people. Because I think people are really scared to approach this topic, you know? Like, they hear about what we're doing, and they're like, I could never do that. And it's like, I would have said the same thing, but you go through it, and you realize, oh, you can do it because you have to. And at some point, everybody has to face these things in their life. And I think the sooner we do face these things, the sooner it changes us, like, and how we treat people in our lives, you know? And so I think that that can be a positive thing. You don't have to go through it but if you stop, if you look at it, if you consider it, it will change you, you know? And I hope for the better, so.
Awesome. In context of yourself, what do you see yourself continuing to try to make games, or do you see yourself more as an ambassador of having this conversation in the future?
I think we can have these conversations in so many different venues. I think the main thing I'm interested in is people telling their stories, like giving their testimony, you know? Because, like, when people tell their stories from the heart, you can't really argue with it, you know? Like, it's totally disarming. All of a sudden, you can have these conversations, and you're not fighting, you're not yelling at each other, but you're seeing each other. So I figure if we can do stuff that inspires people to see each other, then that's something that I want to be part of. And so I feel like, you know, in the future, we would love to continue to make games. We have ideas, but I think they'll be all rooted in creating meaningful experiences from people's stories, you know? And so while it's not quite documentary, it is based on people's voices, you know? And so that's pretty important to me anyway.
Well, Ryan, thank you so much for taking such a great amount of time to just, you know, take your time and really just have this, you know, awesome conversation. I really appreciate it. Is there a social media platform that people can kind of flock to for the film, for the game, for yourself?
Yeah, there's pages on Facebook for both the game and the film. The film is TYFP Film on Twitter. And then Josh and I don't have Dragon Cancer social media.
Yep.
We don't have a Twitter for that. But ours are Ryan Green 8 and God at Play, GODATPLAY. And that's where you can find us, thatdragoncancer.com.
Okay. And I'm almost positive the game is listed on Steam, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
It will be on Steam. We are signed up. So it will be coming on Steam when it launches.
Awesome. Well, for context of the recording, my name is Evan Griffin. My Twitter handle personally is at evgriff42 with two Fs. And our website is theyoungfolks.com at TYF Official. You can find us on Facebook and the Young Folks blog on Tumblr. And Ryan, thank you so much for having this conversation with me and giving us a game that can show the empathy that we can express if we actually are able to have an interactive experience with somebody else's life. So it's really kind of an amazing thing just for, you know, any kind of medium of art to kind of see this form of expression. So thank you for that.
Well, thank you very much for your time, Evan.